he got down there in the prayers and brother Ben, he said things went okay and everybody seemed to be comforted by the truth. So continue to pray for them. And as always, Brother Jamie sends his love. Good friend. Appreciate the sweet prayer, Brother Charles. Ask each of you, as always, just to continue to pray for me as I stand before you this morning. Seems like my mind has been all over the place in the Word of God, considering what I might speak on this morning. I've just been praying that God would settle it on a passage that He would have for us today, and that what we say would be what He would have us to declare to God's children. I pray that whatever it is that we're thinking as well as what we're saying would be acceptable in His sight today. And we know that can only come from the Lord. So you just pray for me as I make an effort to speak to you from God's Word. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you this morning from the Sermon on the Mount found in Matthew chapter 5. The passage of Scripture, the part of that sermon that's on my mind. And I love to read the entirety of the sermon from time to time, just Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and see the words of Jesus as He preached to the disciples. He covers so many, many wonderful things. And out of that one sermon, I've often thought, wonder how many sermons have been preached from the one sermon that the Lord Himself preached and left, or not the only sermon, but one that's recorded for us that you can sit down and read. I encourage you to do that, just to sit down and read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and you'll see the words of Jesus and hear such a wonderful message and a sermon that's perfect. You want to hear a perfect sermon? Then read that sermon, because that's the perfect sermon that's given to us in God's Word. And the part that I'd like to look at concerns the salt and the light that God's children are to be here in this world. And I hope the Lord will just bless us for a little while to talk about how it is that God's children are the salt and light, and how it is that we are to continue to hold on to the things of the Lord, that we might be the salt and light that the Lord would have us to be here in this world. Salt is of great benefit in the world. I know I like salt on things. When I'm going to eat a potato, if I get that potato out and start eating on it and it doesn't have any salt on it, I'm soon reaching for the salt shaker to put a little flavor in the potato. Same with meat, same with about anything that I find edible. A little salt is good, and a lot of salt seems sometimes better. And I know it's not necessarily good for you, but salt is a great blessing. And it, although too much of it's harmful for you, some of it's necessary. We need a certain amount of it. Most of us probably take more than we ought to have, and it can cause us different problems. I understand all that, but it is necessary. And the Lord uses salt as a picture for us to see and understand what God's little children are to be to this world and to one another. God's children are to be salt. And also light. How important is light? I mean, I'm finding out the older I get, the more light that I need. I remember a long time ago being over at Brother Priest's home, and when I was a young man and first making an effort to preach here, I'd go to his house and we'd be looking at a portion of Scripture, and I could just open a Bible back in those days and just in any kind of light just read just about any kind of text, whether it was really small or whether it was really large. And Brother Priest would say, "Boy, turn that light on so you can see something," you know. And I would wonder at that time, why was he so worried about me having a light? Well, I've learned since I can't get enough light. When I go to read something, it just seems like I can't have enough light. And the brighter the light is, it's just, you know, sometimes I think, well, I can't see that very well. All I need to do is turn a little more light on, and sometimes even the little smallest print can pop out there for you with just a little more light. So light's really important. And That's true in a natural way, and we talked about that briefly. But this lesson is talking about what God's people are to be in this world and to be to one another in a spiritual way. What we're to be as God's children. And when we are that, and when we cannot be that. And it's important to understand that that's something that we are to hold on to. That is something we're to seek to be. That is something God has called us to be. That is something He's qualified us to be. That we're salt and light, not because of what He's done for us, but because of what He's done, not because of what we've done for Him, but what He's done for us. And that because of what He's done for us, you and I are to really press in and hold on to that which He's done for us, that we might be salt and light to one another. Husbands need to be salt to their families. Wives need to be salt to their husband. Daddies and mamas need to be salt to their children. Children need to be salt to their parents. And certainly every member of this church, the minister is to be salt to you. But not only is the minister to be salt, but you are to be salt to the minister. You are to be salt to one another. We have a purpose that God has called us out of nature's darkness into His marvelous light for. And that purpose is to honor and glorify Him. And in doing that, we are a help to others of God's children. We help one another along the way. And when are we a help to one another? When we are a salt to one another. When we are helping one another. And there's a specific way that the Bible tells us that we are to be that salt. Well, let's read the text. He says in verse 13, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, he says here to God's little children, and he's speaking to his disciples. If you read the beginning of this sermon in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him." And so this language is to the disciples that had gathered, even though there we find in another place in Scripture where there was a great congregation of people. This message and the words of the Sermon of the Mount are directed to the disciples of the Lord. As a matter of fact, when we read the Bible, if you really understand what the Bible is for, some people believe the Bible is that which is given in the world to cause people who are not God's children to become God's children. But the Bible itself says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, so the Bible is given, the Scripture is given to the man of God, that he may be perfect, that is complete, and throughly furnished unto all good works, which means the Bible is given to us as God's children, not to make us children of God, but to make us complete as children of God, that we might be the salt and the light, that we might have light, that we might understand who we are and why we're here and what we're to do and how we're to act and how we're to behave and how we're to talk. Now, most of the time we don't like that because we don't like to be told how to behave and how to act and how to talk, because we kind of think sometimes we know how to do that. I don't need anybody telling me what to do. I know how to do that. And today you stand you're sitting in a congregation, and one is standing before you. And the charge that I have, I am to do it as lovingly as I can. I am to do it as meekly and humbly as I can. I am to do it as much as I can without offense. But the charge that I have as a minister of the gospel is to tell you how to act and behave and to think. And that can be offensive. Some folks might get offended by that. Now, when is it that I'm on good ground, and when is it that I'm on, when I get off the ground? And you know, preachers sometimes get out of the way. They get off the ground. They're not always being the salt that they ought to be to a congregation. If your pastor is doing what the Lord has called him to do,
He is a servant of the church. He has been called to preach and to teach the Word of God. And when he preaches and teaches the Word of God, and he shares with God's people the doctrines of the Bible, the doctrine of grace, the doctrine of truth that's laid down in God's Word, he becomes salt and light to God's little children. And when he starts getting on other things and getting in places that the Bible doesn't go and adds to or takes from the Word of God or leaves the doctrine, leaves the truth, or preaches part of it and leaves part of it out or starts trying to appeal to men, he ceases to be the salt, he ceases to be the light, and he becomes dispensable, which means he's to be cast out and really disregarded, and he becomes unprofitable. The Apostle Paul was concerned that when he had preached to others and he had been blessed to teach others, that he might become a castaway. That kind of says we can become a castaway. Now, I want you to understand to what extent we can become a castaway and to what extent we cannot become a castaway. That's very important to know. The doctrines of the Bible, the doctrine of God's Word, tells us that those that are born of the Spirit of God, that are the children of grace, that were loved of God in covenant before the foundation of the world, that were given by the Father to the Son, all of them are in the hand of God, and no man can pluck them out of the Father's hand, not one of them. And there is none who have been born of the Spirit of God and made alive in Christ who can lose that life, which by the way is eternal life, and by the very definition of being eternal life, you can't lose it. You know, there's a lot of people in this world who believe you can have eternal life today and then lose it and not have it tomorrow. And then maybe get it back again. Some people believe if you lose it, you can't ever get it back. What a horrible doctrine that would be. But the idea of the thought that you might have life today and it's eternal life and you lose it, if you could have life yesterday and it was eternal life, I ask you, was it really eternal if you could have lost it? Because eternal things last how long? Well, they last forever. And if you're given eternal life by the Lord, and that's what the Bible says, that Jesus came and gave eternal life to as many as he had given him, that means there's a people that the Lord loved in covenant, out of, as we've already mentioned today, out of every nation, out of every tongue, and out of every people. Not just a small bunch of old Baptists, but out of every, I believe, almost every denomination possibly of the world. God has his people that he has chosen, not based on anything they would do, but based on what his sovereign will and choice. And that people, God loved them and gave them to his Son, and Jesus came and died for them and secured their salvation. For us who came after Jesus died and went to the grave and rose again, for us who live today, even before we existed. Now, in the mind and purpose of God, we were with him in before the foundation of the world because we were represented in the Lord Jesus Christ. But even before we existed, our salvation, if we belong to the elect family of God, was secured in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. He had you and he had me in his mind and in his thoughts. And he saw our sins. And he saw our needs, and he saw what a mess I would be, and yes, what a mess you would be, and what a mess we all are, and loved us in spite of our unlovable condition, and despite of how far away we were from the things of God. There was no way you and I could recover ourselves. We could have never gotten everything straight. You know, when I look at my life and all that's wrong with it, if I had to get everything straight that I'd ever messed up, if I had to go back and tell everybody I'm sorry that I really owe, I'm sorry too. If I had to go and tell Mama all the lies that I told her when I was a little boy and ask her to forgive me for each and every one of them, I'm sure there are many of them I told as a little boy I forgot all about. But you know, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, and every time this little boy lied and committed sin, which is a transgression of God's law, and he tells us, thou shalt not lie, the shalt nots are there, and we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if you and I had to be chargeable today of trying to get all of love that straight, boy. What a job that would be, and we'd never get it done. Salvation would be impossible. We'd all be lost, and there'd be no gospel, no good news to share today. Well, I'll tell you, God's ministers who are the salt and the light, and God's children who know the truth, who are the salt and the light, we have some good news to share with God's people. And that is that we have a mighty big God. A God that knew everything you ever did wrong and loved you anyway. And when Jesus went to the cross, He took every sin that you ever had. The ones that you have troubled you so much in your life right now, that may be burdening you so much that you feel like you can't even hardly go on because they weigh me down and my sin seems too great for me to bear. And how could He save an old sinner like me? Listen, the gospel that declares the truth to God's little children, that help them be the salt and the help to others and the light that they're called to be, that gospel declares unto us that we have a Savior who completely and totally and utterly saved His people from their sins, and He removed them from you as far as the east is from the west, and they'll never be remembered against you anymore. That's good news for me today as I stand before you. But it helps me. I believe it's good news to you. I see it in your face. I feel it as I speak to you. That it's good news to know that this salvation that the Bible declares, though the world may say it's of me and the Lord who has it done, I'm not troubled about what the Lord's got to do, but I'll tell you, I'm really troubled about what I've got to do, because at my very best, even when I would do good, and I hope you, none of you are thinking today that I'm saying it doesn't matter how you live or how you walk or how you talk, because I'm not saying that. As a matter of fact, it's very important how we live and act and walk and talk in this world, because God has called us out of nature's darkness into His marvelous light that we might honor and glorify Him. But nothing we do adds to our eternal home or our eternal salvation that was complete and finished in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would have each one of you as God's little children today to be settled about that. You know, there are a lot of God's children that are going to be with Him in heaven that are not settled about that. They're not settled about that. They're concerned that they haven't done this or haven't done some other thing. They're concerned that they have done this or they've done some other thing. And because of what they've done or not done, because of their works, they are not at peace with the Lord, because they're trying to get fellowship with Him by being good enough. Can I say to you today that none of us will ever be good enough to deserve fellowship with a holy, righteous God who cannot look upon the least of sin? And you and I, just like the wild Gadarene, who could not help himself, nor could anybody else, the only one who could help him was Jesus. But I want to say to you that you have a friend in Jesus. And as we look to Jesus, and as we come to Him, we can rest in His finished work. We can rest in His love. We can rest in the length of it, the breadth of it, the height of it, and the depth of it. We can rest in an eternal love that reached all the way to the depth of where we were. And He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He lifted up from the depth of where we were separated from God and carried us to the heights whereby we're enabled one day by the grace of God to live with Him in glory. And listen, heaven's a real place that awaits us. The Lord would have us to live in this old world sometimes with the bumps along the way and the troubles. You ever wonder why you got so many troubles and why you got so many bumps? Because if we got so in love with this world, we'd forget about heaven. I want you to know there's a heaven that awaits. And sometimes the bumps along the way allow you to remember that this is not heaven. It's a heavenly place when the Lord lifts us up to sit together in heavenly places. But there is never going to be at a time in this world that this world is going to be like heaven. We'll have a little foretaste of it from time to time. But as sure as we have the hills, we'll have the valleys. As sure as you have your ups, you'll have your downs, and get ready. You're going to have ups and downs. They're going to continue to happen all the days that you live. As you've heard me say many times, quoting from Job, man that's born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. And in this world, you'll have tribulation. So we need to be salt and light to God's little children here in this world. Now, how are we the salt? We're the salt when we share the gospel. We're the salt when we hold to the sound words of the gospel. We're the salt when we remember the gospel. We're the salt when we have our loins girt about with the truth. That means you're wearing the gospel. We're the salt when we have our shoes, we have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means we're wearing the gospel on our shoes. That means as we're walking in this world, we don't forget the gospel. We don't forget our Lord. We don't forget His blessings. We don't forget what He's done for us eternally. We remember each and every day that we live, we have a friend in Jesus who can help us and strengthen us so that when you get that bad news from the doctor, you're able to handle it. Or when you get the something going on the job and it's wearing you out, you don't get overwhelmed by it. Or when you hear something happening in your family and you want to fix it and you can't, you don't get overwhelmed by it. Because you know that there's a God in heaven who had an eternal love for us, and there's nothing that can separate us from that love, and we're engulfed and enwrapped in that love. And we want to be living in that love and in faith to Him. And then we can be a help. We hold fast the form of sound words. And we do that in faith and in love towards God. And then we are the salt. And that's when God's children are a benefit to one another. When is it we help one another? Is it a help to one another when we fuss at one another? No. Is it a help to one another when we get in the flesh and, you know, we just get wore out and the patience wears out? No. That's why sometimes when you go to your brethren for help, you don't always get help. I think about Job's comforters. And they were comforters that came with well intentions, but they sure were miserable comforters. And sometimes you and I get surrounded by miserable comforters. We have comforters who want to help, but they don't help. Do you ever want to help God's children, but you seem like you're always saying the wrong thing? Do you ever want to say a word of encouragement, but you seem like you get, when it comes out the wrong way? Do you ever have well intentions, but you're doing the very best you can, but rather than helping the situation, it makes it worse? I'll tell you, preachers can tell you a whole lot about that. Sometimes I'm trying my very best to get a point across, and then rather than getting it across, it goes just the other way, and some people will leave with just the opposite of what I've tried to say. When is it that we are on track? That's what I'm asking you. Well, the apostle told the young preacher Timothy, and you know, I started 1 Timothy chapter 2 and didn't get anywhere in it, so we're going to look at it just a little bit today for a little while. I'm not going to try to cover the other 16 verses I didn't look at the last time I read 18. But we'll look at just a few of them because it fits in line with what we have here. I believe it's 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1 instead of 1 Timothy chapter 2. It's 2 Timothy chapter 1. The Apostle Paul is talking to the young preacher Timothy, and he's really telling Timothy to be salt and to be light. And really, when it's applied, sometimes we think it's just the minister who is to be salt and light, but it's not just the minister. Listen, there is a light that is supposed to come from this little church, from the membership of this church. There is a salt that you're supposed to be in the community that you're in your families and in your homes, and what you are to be to one another. And it's really not just the membership here, but all of God's children who know the truth. By the way, it's important for God's little children to know the truth. Because as a little child of God, if you don't know the truth, you can't possibly be the salt and the light that you need to be. Because to be salt and light means you're sharing the truth. We are to share the truth with one another. Not our opinions, not our thoughts, not our ideas, not how we feel about it. Unless how we think and feel about it lines up with the truth, what we say won't be beneficial. Unless we align our thoughts to the truth, what we share with others of God's children won't be beneficial. Do you see how important it is that we have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel? What is the gospel? What is that preparation? That means my walk should be a reflection of the gospel. I should be walking in the truth of God's Word. What is the truth of God's Word? That we have a sovereign God. Isn't that important to know that we have a sovereign God? But it's important for my feet to show that we have a sovereign God. It's important that my hands believe and act in a way that I believe in a sovereign God. It's important that I have my head clothed with the idea that there's a sovereign God. Listen, there's a God who has all power. That should change how I think about things. Sometimes I get overwhelmed with all the problems that we have, and they seem to grow. We've already mentioned a list that would depress most people that would hear that list and think, boy, I'll tell you what, that bunch, somebody visiting for the first time might think, that bunch is surely in a mess over there. I've got to tell you, that church is in trouble. And indeed, we would be in trouble. And by the way, so would you and everyone else be in trouble if we didn't have a sovereign God. So what do? I want to supply some salt this morning by the grace of God and let you understand. What does that salt do? It preserves you and it flavors you so that when you're living in this world, you're not living unpleasantly, but you're having a blessed life and a life of peace and rest, even though we're full of trouble. And how do we keep that? Well, remember, God's God. There's a verse that says, "Be still and know that I am the Lord. Be still. Be still." Y'all have trouble being still? Sometimes I want to move. And I have to wait. I just have to wait on the Lord. I'm a fix-it kind of person. If somebody's... And I'll wear you out trying to fix you. Don't say amen, Lee. I know she could. I'll try to fix you. Because when I feel something hurting, I want it better. When I feel the congregation hurting, I want it better. When I feel my brothers and my sisters going through trouble, I want it better. And I sometimes don't want to be still and wait on the Lord. I want to do it. God has called me to be salt and to be light. That is to share the truth. But I'm telling you, it's only God who can open up the truth to His children. Though we're to share it, we are dependent upon a sovereign God who can unstop the deaf ear, who can open up the deaf ear, open up the blind eye, cause the lame to leap for joy, who can take a leper and make him clean and whole, who can touch a little woman, or allow her to touch him and immediately heal her. He is the only one who is our healer. He is the only one who we truly need to supply what we need today. And part of the salt and the duty that I am to be salt is to tell you that there is no help in me, there is no help in you, but there's all kinds of help in Him. And I want to say that over and over again. I want to remind you of that. Over and over again. And then once I've reminded you of that, I want to be still and know that the Lord is the Lord. He can take care of it. He can supply what we need above and beyond anything we could ask or think. He can heal my family. He can heal us physically. He can heal us spiritually. He can heal us when someone's having trouble on the job. And somebody said, well, does God work in jobs? Oh, does God work in our lives? Listen, in the detail, you know what the Bible says about the Lord? It says His eyes are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. He said that, and that verse over that I've been trying to memorize and keep forgetting, over in Psalm 19, I believe it is, or 14, I even forgot where it's at. Let the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight. I missed that part, in thy sight. In thy sight. I missed that part. And Brother Jamie said, Brother Gary, I think it says in thy sight. And I thought, oh, isn't that wonderful to know it says in thy sight? Because my thoughts are in His sight, and my words are in His sight. And when have they been in His sight? Always. And when will they never be in His sight? Never. And therefore I have a sovereign and a wonderful God who knows my thoughts and knows my words. And my prayer to Him is, oh Lord, may they be acceptable in thy sight. And I'm looking to Him for that. As a matter of fact, in order to be a help to you, I've got to look to the Lord. I had to look to Him this morning in order to be, in order for Him to lead and direct. He says in verse, let's read 2 Timothy, my goodness, 3 minutes to, 3 minutes, 16 verses. No, I don't mean it says. So hang on. It's in verse 8. He says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner." And this is 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. He says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." He's telling that young preacher, Timothy, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Listen, the gospel, to know Jesus, if you know Jesus, you are a blessed character. You are, You are richer than the richest man on the face of the earth. You have blessings untold. If you have a communion with Him, and if you know Him, we know why we know Him, because He first knew us. If we love Him, it's because He first loved us. If we've even called out to Him and asked Him bless us and be with us and can come to Him, it's because He's called us. No man can come to Me, He said, except the Father which has sent Me draw him, and I'll raise him up again at the last day. But if you know Him, let us not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. That means let us never be ashamed to own and claim that Jesus is Lord, and that He is sovereign, that He is in control, that He is in power. And when you and I get in trouble, we've got someone to look to. Isn't that wonderful? We can declare that. Said, I'm going to turn it over to the Lord. You know how often you have to do that? Again and again and again. And we want to do that over and over. When we do that, we become salt and light to those that are around us. He said, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of Me as prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. In other words, we are going to have afflictions and trouble that come just because we name the name of Jesus. There's not going to be everyone who likes us because we named Jesus' name. The Apostle Paul, at this writing, was in bondage and was in captivity as a prisoner in Rome. He was chained to a Roman centurion. And he was in a type of prison. And there, in that bondage, as he was in the chains, we read about that over in verse 16. As he was there, he was preaching and he was teaching and he was telling the young preacher Timothy to be faithful. Brethren, I'm saying to you today, that you and I are to be faithful. We're to look to the Lord. We're to lean upon Him. He's the one who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And then verse 11 says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I offer also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Oh, I want to stop so much and talk about what we read. But I'm going to close with this 13th verse, because this is where God's little children... Can the salt lose its savor? Absolutely it can. Can we cease? What can we not lose? We can't lose our eternal life. We can't lose the grace that God has put in us. His grace is an eternal blessing that we cannot lose. But can you and I lose being a benefit to others of God's children and cease to be the salt and the light that we ought to be? Can a minister fall from the place that he is and helping and teaching God's children? Can the membership fall from the place they're in and helping and teaching others of God's children in this world? The answer to that is absolutely they can. And how is it that we should not do that? Well, he tells young Timothy how not to do that. He says in verse 13, he says, hold fast the form of sound words. That's verse 13. It says you and I are to lay hold onto this gospel and wear it and take it with us. That's what we sing about when we say take the name of Jesus with you. That means when you're on the job and that fellow next to you says something and you want to just either punch him or tell him off or whatever, that rather than doing that and acting in the flesh, which we all can do, when we do that, we the salt loses its savor. Can you see that? When something goes wrong in your life, and rather than facing it, trusting and leaning upon the Lord, we lean to our own selves and to our own strength, and we go off into the flesh, we're to walk in the Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit, we hold fast the form of sound words. Now, these sound words are talking about the doctrine which we believe, and we're to hold fast the form of it, which means the pattern of it, which means not only what we said with our mouth, but what we do with our hands and with our feet, and how we act and how we talk. You know, have you ever thought about sometimes when someone's looking at you and you've messed up, you'd say, well, I've surely lost my benefit to them. I surely haven't acted in the way I ought to act. And we can only, when we do that, ask the Lord to forgive us. And thanks be to God, He does forgive us. But then ask Him to restore unto us that we might be the... Listen, God has called you out of nature's darkness so that you would show forth His praises until He comes again. That's our duty and our responsibility. To show forth His praises until He comes again. And in order to do that, we need to walk as the salt and the light. That means we not only are to speak the word, but we're to live that word. And be aware that as we're living, the eyes of the Lord are always upon us. And may we walk in a way to be a benefit to God's little children. And may our words be seasoned with salt, that is seasoned with grace, that is seasoned with the truth, so that it'll be a benefit to God's children. He says, hold fast the form of sound words. Hold fast means you hold on to them. That little baby, if she doesn't hold fast on it, it's going to jump right out of her arms because she's a wiggling. So she holds fast. Listen, you and I are to hold fast to the truth. We're to hold fast to God's Word. We're to hold on to it. We're to remember it. When we get discouraged, remember it. When you get bad news, remember it. When you're hit with all the lies of the devil, remember it. It's about putting on the whole armor of God. It's about having your loins girt about with the truth and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's about walking what we believe. Listen, if we just talk it on Sunday, what does it mean? We're to walk what we believe and to live that and to help one another. That is never going to be something we can pat ourselves on the back and say, look what we've done, because it's not of works, lest any man should boast. But it is something we humbly do before Almighty God. And as we do that, God blesses us to be a help to one another. When is our words going to be a help to one another? When we share the truth. You hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me. By the way, what we share... Sometimes we as preachers want to get something nobody's ever heard before. And when a preacher gets to something nobody's ever heard before, he's not holding fast to those sound words, because the sound words have been preached many, many times. I doubt there's anything I've said this morning, for most of you, probably all of you, that you hadn't heard before. But I want to say those same things to you again and again, that you might remember them and be reminded to hold on to them. And remember them so that you'd be that salt that God has called you to be, and you'd be that light. Let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And good works are done in faith and in love. That's what he says here, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Faith is in Christ Jesus and love is in Christ Jesus. You know, you can't believe in the Lord without the gift of faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And it's the Lord who gives us faith. You have that faith that God has given you as a little child of God. Use it. Believing and trusting in Him. That is the substance and the evidence of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. And may the Lord bless us to use that faith in trusting Him that we might be the salt and light. And then love. You can't leave love out of any of this. We're to love one another as the Lord has loved us. That means we've got to love one another, whether, like we've said before, whether we like it or not. It's our duty and it's our responsibility to love one another. Think how the Lord has loved us. When we were His enemies, His love was shown unto us. When we were adversaries and contrary to Him in every way, His love was so great. God, the Father, sent His only begotten Son into this world, and the Son, because of His love, came willingly, and He died for us on the tree of the cross. And we're to remember to love one another as He has loved us, and we can only do that through the Lord Jesus Christ. So ultimately, all the glory and all the praise and all the honor belongs unto the Lord. You and I don't have anywhere to boast except in the Lord. And may we always praise and honor and glorify His name. I do appreciate your kind attention this morning. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.